Well, good morning. Fall is a great time for restarting in many ways. I think if you're like me, I just love the fall because it gives me kind of a restart. And for many of you, if you've been gone over the summer, vacationing and so on, it's just kind of that, in a lot of ways, the restart for you as well. There's several things that we're doing that are kind of part of, I guess I would call restarting. We just, you know, a lot of the high school breakfasts are starting, and that's a good thing. And our adult classes, we have a new quarter started today. And for some of you that aren't necessarily going to class kind of people, I would consider or challenge you to consider attending our classes. They're all designed to help us grow spiritually, and whatever our, you know, there's a variety of offerings that may fit your need. I know we still have the Bible Discovery class that Josh Rockwell is going to be teaching in the auditorium on Sunday mornings. Joshua is being taught by Charles McCord. I'm doing a class on marriage and family. And then there's the college class as well that Don and Nancy are teaching here in room 9 or 6. And so consider being a part of a class. And on Wednesday, we're also having, we have Bible class as well for all ages. And 1 Corinthians is being taught in the adult class. And I'm doing my Bible Discovery class as well on Wednesday. And then, like I said, all the kids' classes are going on. We also just start up our Breaking Bread, our having a meal on Wednesdays at 6. And we have a need there. We had 100 people here. 100 people here last Wednesday. And that's, you know, for those who came for the meal, but also for those who came to Bible class. That's a whole bunch of folks on a Wednesday night, and that's awesome. And but I know one of the main reasons is because we're offering that meal. Well, Nancy and I can't cook every Wednesday. Okay? And so we need some help. And so, you know, just a handful of folks, if you just could step up and help prepare a meal, that would be a great part of that ministry. So, number one, if you haven't been coming on Wednesday, you ought to. And number two, if you can cook, please help us. And so see Nancy afterwards and put your name on the list. And it doesn't have to be anything special. Just make sure that it's a good meal to feed a lot of folks and help bring people to be part of the body here. So anyway, that's my plug, and I'm not ashamed of it because it's a good thing. So think about cooking a meal. Other restart, last one. Next Sunday's Bring Your Friends Sunday. Some of you need an excuse to bring somebody to church. You know, you got to think of some reason to invite them. And so if you need a good reason, we just made up one, Bring a Friend Sunday. And there's some flyers in the foyer there if you need to grab a flyer and say, could you come to church with me next Sunday? We start a brand new sermon series focusing on the Holy Spirit and how it's manifest in our lives. And so hopefully, if you need an excuse, do so. For some folks you might be hanging out with, they may need a restart. And so next Sunday might be good for them. I think that's enough for announcements. Time. Have you ever thought about how we refer to time like it's money? We use very similar language when we refer to our time. You spend time here on Sunday morning, don't you? Some of you want to borrow each other's time. Can I borrow you? Can I borrow some of your time? Some of us see time as, okay, well, I'm going to invest some time into this or that. What are some other ideas here? Waste time. Oh, I hate to waste time. Like sometimes you and I waste money. And save time. We want to save time, so we do different things to try to make sure that we can save some time. Well, that's my next point, is buy time. If you have a loved one who's in the hospital and things don't look so good, and the doctor says, you know, if we could just, you know, if we can pay for this drug, maybe, you know, we can buy some more time for your loved one. And who would not give that money to try to help someone buy some more time. We see time a lot like money, don't we? Today's sermon is focusing on this idea of numbering our days, or our perspective of time. And I don't know how this happened, but Moses lived a lot earlier than what we typically would look at the Psalms. We see a lot of the Psalms as the Psalms of David, don't we? Well, Moses and David were not contemporaries, but here Psalm 90 is a psalm, is a prayer of Moses. It's in the midst of these Psalms, and if you look at the whole book of Psalms, it's broken up in different books, and this is the fourth book. If you want to think of it from that perspective. And it starts off with this prayer of Moses. And notice, I think, the goal of his prayer is verse 12. I believe the goal of his prayer is verse 12. I may be wrong. And where he says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I believe that's the goal of his prayer. He's saying, God, help me to know, help us to know how to number our days so that I can have a heart of wisdom. So I want to look through this psalm and see if that might be, if you can see if that's the goal of his prayer. And as we look at this psalm, see it, I think, through this lens of trying to have a heart of wisdom. This is the last sermon on wisdom, and so I'm hoping this might be a good way to bring this to a close. That we would have a heart of wisdom. And he says, to have that heart is to know how to number our days. So let's look at this. In verses 1 and 2, he starts off, Moses does, by saying, I believe the context of time. He starts off saying, God, you are our dwelling place. We dwell with you, and you are everlasting to everlasting. So he wants us to understand that time really needs to be from the perspective of, in God's perspective, that he is everlasting to everlasting, and we are to dwell with him. He is to be our dwelling place. And so he begins this prayer and this understanding of what it means to number our days with the idea of this is who God is. He is everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning, he has no end. So this is his perspective of time. And then in verses 3 through 6, he then does a contrast, I believe. This is who God is. He is eternal, he is timeless, he is everlasting. And here's us. Here's humanity. And so in verses 3 through 6, he talks about really our being limited by time. He uses these terms. He says, you know, God has created us from the dust, and we're going to return to dust. This is kind of the bummer part of the sermon, by the way. We were created out of dust, and we're going to return to dust. He says, from God's perspective, 1,000 years is like a watch in the night. A watch in the night was... during that time was 3 hours. So 1,000 years is like 3 hours to God. And that we are like grass that comes up in the morning, it's fresh in the morning, but after the heat of the day, it withers and fails. That's what we're like. God is timeless, and we are limited by time. And I threw in this last one, mist. James talks about you and I, we're just like a mist. You know, in the morning there's that mist, and then it burns off and is gone. So this is the contrast we have with God, who is timeless, and us. We have a very limited time on this earth. And that should cause you and I to say, wow, if God is eternal and he's everlasting and we're not, maybe we need to think about how we spend our time, to think about the purpose of the time that we have. If we're just like grass, maybe we want to make sure that what time we have, we should spend it well. We should think about the purpose of our days. And I think that's his agenda. When he says, God, help me to have an understanding of my days, to be able to number my days so that I can have this heart of wisdom. I believe he's praying for purpose. I believe he's praying that we'd understand our purpose, our days that are given us. Now, in verses 7 through 11, I worked on this. And I thought, how does this fit in? He talks about God's anger, his wrath, and setting sins before God, and these sins are in his presence, and I'm going, I'm not sure what he's doing here in this prayer. And this may be wrong, but I think this is what he's doing. He's saying, when we think about our sin, when Adam and Eve first sinned, that began the reality of that our days are numbered on this earth as human beings. And because of their sin, death, physical death and spiritual death became a reality. And so then God's wrath had to respond to that sin. And because of that truth, our days are limited. And we need to think about how our days are spent because of his response to our sin. I think that's the case, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this necessarily fit in with his prayer. But I really think this is it, because when we think about death, doesn't that force us to reflect? When we think about the reality that we're grass and that our days are limited here on this earth, that maybe we ought to think about how we spend our days, the purpose of our days. Because it's like money, right? We want to spend it well. We want to invest it well. And so he's praying that we would have an understanding of our days and that we'd gain a heart of wisdom in how we spend those days, the purpose of those days. So death, I think, is what he's trying to communicate here in us understanding our days, I hope. And verse 10 seems to be then what I would say is what life looks like when you don't understand your purpose and you haven't thought about the purpose of your days. And so you live maybe 70 years, maybe if you're lucky, you'll live 80, and then you're gone. That's a life without wisdom. That's a life without purpose. That's a life that does not have an understanding of numbered days, would be my perspective. And so he ends this in verse 11 by saying, if we only knew this God who's everlasting to everlasting, and that we're supposed to dwell with him, and the truth that our days in many ways are limited, that we'd live differently. We'd live with purpose if we only knew. Then in verse 12, I believe this is where he focuses on our purpose and the purpose of his prayer. Instead of struggle and death, verse 10, you know, this life that just seems to be, you know, we struggle for 70, 80 years, then we're gone. Like Rover, dead all over. That's it. We're just, you know, we existed without purpose. He says, I want us to pray that we would have an understanding of our purpose, that we'd number our days and have a heart of wisdom. And out of that, we would see purpose for our lives, and that it won't be like having a jar of beads. I always hope my illustrations make sense, and I think this one does. If you would, I couldn't put 25,500 beads in here, but if we lived 70 years, that's around 25,000 days. If each one of those days was represented by a bead, I would think this would be kind of a morbid way of living. That's 3 days. When he says, number my days, number our days, help us to number our days, I don't think he's saying, okay, we've got just a jar full. And boy, my jar's getting empty. as the days go by. I don't think he's saying number my days so that I can visually see that they are limited and that the jar's getting empty every day. It's just getting more and more empty. That is not, I don't think, his desire when he says number my days. Help me to number my days so that I have a heart of wisdom. Because that, to me, that says that's just, man, that's a horrible way to live, just to think about, okay, I lost another day. I believe when he's saying to number my days, he's saying, help me to find purpose. Help me find the joy that has been given me because God has created me. To have the heart of wisdom to know how life ought to be lived, not how, man, that's all I got. To cherish the days, the joy of life, that each day is a gift, and God has a purpose for us. It just isn't spent one at a time. When I facilitate out at Camp Yamhill, when I'm facilitating the challenge course, part of our responsibility is to help kind of stretch the participant. Some of those ropes courses are pretty challenging. For some people, getting up a ladder is the highest they want to go. And oftentimes I'll say, well, that's great, but maybe you want to take one more step. Maybe you want to go a little bit higher. Maybe you want to, you know, challenge yourself a little bit so that you grow a little bit as a person and so on. But I always say, make sure that when you leave here, you don't go home saying, I wish I would have. And it's been the case 100% of the time when I do the giant swing and someone doesn't go all the way up, they just go a little ways up, and it's all said and done. They go, man, I wish I would have gone to the top. And I say, well, I told you so. I believe when Moses is having us pray that, Lord, help us to number our days, when it's all said and done, we're not going, I wish I would have. That we thought about the purpose of those days and the gift of the days that have been given us. That we don't look at it as a bunch of beads that are being spent, but we'd find purpose and understand the gift of that day that's been given us. Help me to number my days. Help me to find the purpose to have a heart of wisdom. And when I think of numbered days and the idea of wisdom, I really wanted to preach on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because that's my favorite, actually my favorite passage. But I thought, well, that's kind of limited in some respects, but it really does teach us this idea of how we ought to understand our days, the purpose of our days. When I was teaching at Cascade College, and when I was academic dean, I always at graduation would buy just the book of Proverbs, and I would give it to all the graduates. And inside the cover, I would have Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If I could give my students, the graduates, marching orders for life, purpose for life, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, to me, would be life's marching orders. If I need to know the purpose of the gift of life, I believe those verses do it for me. And as far as our family is concerned, that was our family verse. I put it on our mission statement and had it on our wall when we were raising our kids. Is this verse, I thought, that kind of summarizes the purpose. What it means to live out a life that has numbered days. A heart of wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. For me, that's a purpose statement. That's having a heart of wisdom, living out a life, understanding this is how my life ought to be lived, the gift of life. In many ways, I think this summarizes Psalm 90, what Moses is praying. This is a numbered days perspective of life. But life is to be in God's hands, not my hands. So he says, trust. The writer of this proverb says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means relinquishing it into his hands, trusting him with your days, trusting him, relinquishing your life into his hands, and not leaning on self. If you and I are just grass, if you and I are just a mist, why would we entrust our lives into our hands? So the writer of this proverb says, don't lean on yourself. We make mistakes. We have a very limited perspective. But lean on God. Trust your life into his hands, not yours. And acknowledge him in all your ways. This term for acknowledge could be translated to know, to be in relationship with. When you and I acknowledge somebody, sometimes we'll just kind of wave our hands or tip our hat or whatever. That's kind of an acknowledgement. That's not what he's talking about here in this Proverbs. He's saying, acknowledge him in all your ways. Know him in all your ways. Be in relationship with you, with him in all your ways. Trust your life into his hands, not into your own hands. But acknowledge him. And in so doing, he's going to make your paths straight. Now, for some, and you may take this perspective that, boy, when you trust your life into his hands and you don't lean on yourself and you acknowledge him, he's going to make it, boy, he's going to put you on the straight and narrow. Well, there is truth to that. But I really think what he's saying here is, you want purpose in your life? You want direction for your life? He'll provide it. If you need direction, if you need word how to live, this day that you have, this life that's been given you, trust it into his hands, and he'll give you purpose. He'll make your paths straight. David Bailey was a songwriter. And in 1996, he was given 6 months to live. He was 30 years old. Doctor says, you have a brain tumor, you got 6 months. At this point in his life, he was living, I think, in a big city, working for corporate America, making money, and as soon as he got that diagnosis, he quit his job and went back to being a songwriter. And if you look at his lyrics during this time, his lyrics focused on, he was a believer, follower of Jesus, his lyrics shifted to having a perspective of his days being numbered, the importance of each day, the purpose of each day of life. And he says this, I stopped asking why me and changed the question to what now? Much more productive and healthy question. I think we all have a dream for a reason, and I think we have the time we need to make it happen. In some ways, we are the lucky ones because we are given a chance to really understand how precious life is and how fulfilling the moments can be. He was forced and took advantage of the opportunity to think about purpose of life. And what do you do with those days that you have, those numbered days? And I believe he understood this prayer of Moses and what it meant to have these numbered days and find purpose in these days. He went on and says this. He says, instead of asking, why is my and our life so short? Okay, that's this. Okay, that's this perspective. Instead of asking, why is my life so short? It's better to ask, what can I do with the life that I have? What can I do? Okay, instead of the limited perspective and says, oh, these my days are numbered and what was me? Life is so short. It's, what can I do with the life that I have? What can I do? What's the purpose? How can I have a heart of wisdom? And so, like I said, a lot of the lyrics of his songs focused on, how do you live each day? Find purpose in each day. Love the time is one of his songs. And the lyrics throughout the song talk about, do you love the time that you have when you're in traffic and you're stuck in traffic and you're not moving? Do you love the time that you have when you're in line at the grocery store? Do you love the time that you have when you're taking your kid to school for the umpteenth time because they were late and didn't get on the bus? Do you love the time to be able to cherish that sunrise or that sunset? Friday night, I was working in the backyard, and all of a sudden, I heard this lady go, or my neighbor go, woo-hoo! And I thought, what's going on? And she stepped out of the back, or stepped out of the house into the backyard, and then all of a sudden, shot right back in the house. She came then back outside with her husband and said, look. And I was up on the ladder, so I could see what they were doing, and they were looking at the sunset. She didn't want to miss the moment. She was loving the time. And Bart goes, did you see that? You see that? I said, I got a better view than you do because I'm up here. Do we love the time? Do we cherish the time? The moment that's been given us. Here's some things that he reflected on. I will not ask why me, but I will only ask what now. I will practice loving the time, all the time. I will insist that the message of hope still never grows old. I will endeavor to share that hope, even when I don't feel it. I will remain aware that there are always others walking a harder road than I. See, this is having a numbered perspective, a numbered days perspective, a heart of wisdom. He says, I will cling to the simple truth that life goes on. I will whisper with conviction with the angel's call to not be afraid. With the love you have already so freely shared, talking about God, I will know that I am not alone. I will keep on walking as long as I am able and God willing. Should the sun come up, I'll shout hallelujah for one more David lived another 12 years. I'm confident he lived a purposeful life. I believe he had a heart of wisdom. So wisdom says to number our days, to live with purpose, to understand that purpose. Let's now turn to worshiping our God, who's from everlasting to everlasting. Because the Psalms are not don't have context, sometimes it's hard to know where they begin and end. We do have some that will say, you know, this is, you know, like this one. It began in Psalm 90 saying this is a prayer of Moses, but we don't know exactly where it ends. It could end in a variety of different places, but we've said it looks like chapter or Psalm 91 is a new one, but we don't know that for sure. But in my mind, it looks like verse 17 is the conclusion of his prayer, where he says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Isn't that what numbered days are to look like? Purposed days? Seems to be the goal of his prayer, that we would know how to live out our lives with purpose, to have a heart of wisdom. So my charge for us this morning, for our lives, is for us to live with numbered days, not with a limited perspective that says, oh man, I've lost another day or whatever, but to live purposeful. Realize life is a gift, and not live and say, oh man, I wish I would have. And not be limited by verse 10 of a life of just struggle. And I made it to 70 years and then I'm gone. But to live life with purpose. And I believe that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is understanding that each day is a gift.
Each day is a gift.
Live it with purpose. Live it in perspective with God, that He would be your dwelling place.
And with all the purpose that He's given us in Jesus Christ, which I believe is really living out the Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Are you living that out? Are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? Or are you leaning on yourself? Are you acknowledging Him as your Lord? Are you allowing Him to give purpose and direction for your life? That's what numbered days look like. And I pray that that is the way your life is. If you need help in that, we're here to pray with you and walk with you. If you want to study more about it, I'd love to meet with you afterwards and we could study and find out what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you want to share something with the whole body here, this is a good time to do so as we stand and sing.